I got a cup of it, I said. Left it up there breathing. Why don't you give the chicken to these people that's going up and have some sauce?
So here's the rest of the chicken, you guys.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet.
Not such a funny bit now, is it, Bill?
Oh, man.
Now I know. It was the barbecue sauce.
A pit of pat.
I missed this call.
And that happy tune is your step.
Mike Evans got it right.
Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk
in the shade without handcuffs
with
on.
Those blues.
Now I can't do that anymore because I'm in jail.
I'm not afraid. This rover.
My fellow Americans, I have not been entirely truthful with you. I did gagoogity that girl. I geschmoigitied her geflavity with my googus. And I am sorry.
Crossed over.
That could be one of 300 politicians.
I'll be
I love what the judge said, Judge O'Neill.
Well,
said it's time.
No, don't save it.
Oh. Okay.
It makes people stay tuned.
All right.
If you don't tell them right away. Well, good afternoon, everybody. What an interesting day. Welcome to the September 25th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I made up something on the way in here that I thought would be appropriate. September 25th, a day that shall live in infamy.
Wow.
That's what do you think? You like it?
Yeah.
Another one of your phrases that you refuse to monetize, and then somebody else jumps all over it.
Why Tim, it's not about money for me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's about love of the craft.
Oh.
Craft
love
cheese,
of the craft?
Craft salad dressing. Love of all the craft products. Dan, so what was it the judge said? I didn't get to see the sentencing.
Okay, Judge O'Neill says, it's time for justice, Mr. Cosby. This is all circled back to you. And then it says, the day has come, the time has come.
Wow.
And then he sentenced him.
That's it? I mean,
yeah.
I thought it was
yeah.
going to be something real
No,
profound.
No, I just
Well,
thought,
I think the your time has come is pretty yeah. you know, ominous.
I hate it when blind guys go to prison because they always make them learn two games.
Leapfrog?
That's not one of the two most popular. One of them is Marco Polo.
Oh.
And the other one is Guess Who?
Marco Polo.
Bill, you know, I don't like it when they keep saying America's dad. I never thought of him as my dad.
Did they say Nothing that?
Well, they always Still? Have. They have for years. Bill Cosby, America's dad.
Oh.
No, I don't look at Bill Cosby as Cliff Huxtable. You know, that reminds me of my dad. My dad's not black. My dad's not a doctor. My dad's not funny.
And he didn't date rape people.
My dad didn't date anybody. I don't think
wow.
he had sex with my mother, but twice. And that was, you know, my son and myself. We were the result
Your
of
son?
That.
Your brother, you mean.
Yeah, your
my brother.
Brother,
not my son. Oh, shoot, that was not
you. If you had been from Kentucky, that would have been appropriate.
Yeah. I was Tennessee. They're more sophisticated yeah. in Tennessee.
More
yeah.
natural with the family yeah. pipeline.
Exactly. So let's talk about this for a little bit. I think it's worth talking about because there's something that really disturbed me. I unlike my wife, I go to Fox News, CNN, Fox News,
right.
CNN. I want to see the difference. And CNN, not surprisingly, is allowing people to come, and it went on for long enough that I had to shut it off, to talk about how this was a racist sentencing.
What?
How? Okay.
Oh, no. This is unbelievable. That if Bill Cosby weren't black,
oh, great.
The sentence wouldn't have been as stiff. This is the most ridiculous thing
okay.
I have ever heard of.
I think it was a pretty light sentence, actually.
Well, I think given his, like, his severe age or whatnot, or the fact that he's, you know, very ill.
It shouldn't matter.
Well, hang on a second. I think that that's why they gave him so much time instead of being like, you know, here's 30, 40 years in prison. I think that the judge sentenced him to prison because that is what actually kind of shocked me the most. But I think that he was sentenced because the judge knew that if she didn't, then she was going to get all kinds of, like, you know, flack for it and backlash for not sentencing him to prison time.
Well, as a judge, you can't win, because if she'd said no prison time, oh my goodness, people would have been outraged. No, prison's a rapist. If it's prison time or too much, then, oh, come on, he's 81, he's blind. He's not blind.
But
first of all, it was a male judge.
Oh, male judge, my bad. Yeah. I'm more interested to see is how long he actually spends in jail. You know, how long
is there a minimum?
Overcrowding. Yeah, minimum of 3 years. But, you know, there's always something that could come up, like overcrowding or
something that could come up, like his cellmate's wiener.
Mm-hmm. oh, man.
Well, they don't like rapists, do they? In jail.
I don't know.
I know
about,
they
like,
don't like pedophiles.
Yeah, pedophiles.
Maybe it's pedophiles. Sure. Maybe they look up to rapists. I don't know.
I have no idea. Right. But he is going in as Bill Cosby, so, I mean.
Yeah, you can't change that.
Everybody knows him.
I picture him in 6 months with a gathering out in the workyard or workout, telling stories and jokes and making everybody laugh. That's how he'll survive, I would think, in prison, is just be Bill Cosby. And,
I think you're right.
Tell your stories. But this racist thing, you know, nobody got, you know, thrown to the lion's den quicker than Harvey Weinstein. It's not over for him. He's still got a lot coming. He's white. He's not black. This is ridiculous that people are saying that the race card is coming to play here, and that because he's black, he got. Let's think back for a minute here on all of the white perverts who've had to pay a price. Remember Bob Crane?
Yes.
Here. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Wasn't he some sort of he filmed women that he tied up and crap? He was a real sicko.
Yeah.
Now, he never did any time for it. He died.
He got murdered.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He got murdered.
See, the thing with Cosby that just really stands up out in all this, and I realize, you know, this would horribly upset all the Me Too movement people, but, you know, the facts of the matter are she didn't go to the authorities for a year after it happened. Okay, I get it. That's fine. It took her a while to get to the authorities. I don't hold that against her. But right after that, she filed a civil lawsuit against him, and he gave depositions, and that's what did him in, is that he admitted in the depositions of the civil suit what he did to her. Then he paid her $3.4 million. Then the state of Pennsylvania says, you know, we don't see enough evidence here to charge you. And 10 years later, when all this stuff comes out, and I realize a lot of the women came out as well, but 10 years later, this woman went to the authorities in 2005, and they didn't prosecute. And then she filed a civil suit, and then she got paid off. And then 10 years, and then the state decided not to prosecute. 10 years later, the new prosecutor in the state decides to reopen the case. He gets copies of the depositions, finds there's enough evidence there, and that's what did him in. And he hung a jury and actually got convicted at a second trial. I mean, this guy had to think, you got to be, Bill Cosby this whole time has to be thinking, you got to be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me.
I always thought the reason for writing a big check was for insurance that you'd go away.
Well, apparently the prosecutor got a hold of the depositions because he admitted in the depositions he gave her Benadryl, claimed it was consensual after giving her the Benadryl, but he admitted he'd given other women Quaaludes. And the whole thing why OJ got so many years in Las Vegas for the kidnapping after he got off in the murder. He's being punished, in my opinion, because there's 60 other women who've come out there that no criminal charge has been filed on, but a judge has to know about that.
Right.
And just as a judge in OJ sentencing in Las Vegas knew that he got away with murder.
Right.
And holding some guys in a hotel room because he stole his memorabilia, 9 years for that. Come on. You know, that.
Well, don't think for a minute that in the judge's mind he wasn't thinking about, yeah, he did murder a couple people. Let's make this tough on him if we can. But let's try to come up, and I probably should have done a little research and homework on this. White perverts, rapists, there have been.
There was that actually. We had a texter send over a message. The Stanford rapist from 2016, Brock Turner, he only got 6 months in jail for raping a girl.
Well, what were the conditions? What was the evidence?
She was apparently passed out, I believe, behind a dumpster, and that's when he took advantage of her, and he was stopped by two passers-by, and the whole thing came down that she was unconscious.
And he only got 6 months?
6 months.
Was he white?
Yep.
All right. That doesn't seem right to me, but I don't think it's because he was white. I think it's because the judge was insane. And the judges can make bad decisions.
Well, you know, the most famous rapist in St. Louis was the Southside Rapist. Were you in St. Louis at that time?
When was this?
It was the 70s.
Yeah.
And I just looked, because I remember it was right when I first started getting into the news. But this guy, Dennis Rabbit was his name, and he started raping women in the St. Louis area in the early 1970s.
Hey, Rab, let's go to Six Pair and Fuller. No, that was Johnny Rabbit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, he got 6 life sentences. So, I mean, that's, you know.
Was he white?
He was.
Oh, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we do have to white people, too.
It took him 25 years to catch him.
Wow. Let me go back to something else I said the other day. And I don't know what we were talking about. When you're famous and you're rich, what do you have to drug anybody for? You can have anybody. Well, not anybody, but you can have your pick of lots of women who'd be happy to jump in the sack with you.
Maybe that was the thing, you know? I mean, this woman turned him down, so he was like, all right, well, I'm going to go with backup plan.
Oh, sure. Turn me down.
Yeah, right.
Take one of these.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And to the women and young women and any women out there, I'll tell you the same thing we've preached to my daughter, and lots of people do now. Don't take anything from anybody to ingest that you don't know what it is, or that didn't come out of your own purse.
And to girls, don't leave your drink.
No.
Never leave your
drone
unattended.
No.
And you know what? We can say this all we want to.
I know.
In and out, in one ear and out the other. They don't pay anything. They're at a party. They're having fun. They don't sit there thinking, now, wait a minute. I didn't see my drink for 30 seconds. I'm not drinking the rest of it. They don't think like that.
Right.
They just don't. This is going to be analyzed and dissected and gone over for a while, just because of the level of fame that this guy had. But it does prove, for all the people who go, well, if you got enough money, you can get out of anything. Nope. Here's a good example of how that's not true. All the money in the world, all the fame, best lawyers, can't save you when you're a rapist and they have proof of it. Now, I also heard on CNN people comparing what happened to Bill Cosby and how unfair it was to how we're giving Kavanaugh sort of a pass here. Well, hold on a second. The Brett Kavanaugh thing is, at least at this point, alleged.
Mm-hmm.
What bothers me, and I can't wait till that's over, I can't wait till they either nail him with absolute hard evidence, well, Mr. Kavanaugh, what about this photo? There it is. And he breaks.
Right.
Either that, or they prove that this woman has been paid, has been coached, and has a political agenda. I want one or the other to just end it. And it could be either one. I don't have a clue. I cannot make a call on the Kavanaugh thing. But there's a big difference in the two. One, to this point, is just what somebody said. Here's the other thing I think people need to understand. A significant number of people in this world would do anything to be famous. They think that being famous, even if it's the 15 minutes of fame or 15 months of fame, everybody will know my name, I'll be famous. And sometimes people do just about anything to be famous. And here's where I'm headed with this. This woman, what, Dr. Ford, is that her name? The Kavanaugh thing?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's what she's doing. She may very well be telling the truth. But then when you have somebody, me too, the Me Too thing. Me too. I want to get in on this too, and I want to be famous. Maybe they're telling the truth, but I'm telling you, in some of the cases, it was a non-event and no big deal until they see how famous and how much attention people get who step up and say, oh, yeah, I don't remember because I was drunk, but I think that might have happened to me, too. Well, that to me, that's not very concrete. I was really drunk, but I'm pretty sure it was him.
Well, at minimum, Judge Kavanaugh liked to party back in the day.
Yes.
High school and college.
Yes.
At minimum, he was a wealthy guy and hung out with other guys who liked to party, and women who the second accuser admitted that she liked to get drunk and throw him back just like anybody else did. What do you expect of a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid who's engaging in drunken, debaucherous behavior in college with people like-minded of his own age? Occasionally, somebody's going to say no or get off me, or, you know,
right.
You're going to get rejected a few times. It just seems to me like, you know, this woman is a registered Democrat. that is the one that's going to testify against him. She waits until the very last minute.
Political.
Well, if it's not political, it's certainly inspired by somebody saying, come forward now, even if she didn't want to.
Here's my other advice, and who am I to give advice to women? But here's my other advice. When something happens and you know when it's happening, this is not right, and this could go really bad for me, end it right there. Kick the guy in the nuts as hard as you can. Slap him as hard as you can. Yell, scream, call the police. Don't just sit there thinking, well, the whole time he was doing it with me, I felt weird and uncomfortable. What? Now, being overpowered is one thing, and when you have no ability to fight it off. Let me give you an example. I remember distinctly one girl when I was in high school, and I tried to touch her boobs.
Okay.
She slapped me, as my dad would have said, into the middle of next week. I mean, she hit me so hard, I thought I was going to lose conscience. I saw stars. I mean, she let me have it.
She knocked your whole family out.
Yeah, that's how hard she hit me. And then she just said, you take me home. And, buddy, I did. And from that point, I was scared to death. She's going to run in, Daddy, try to touch my breast. Mm-hmm. And here comes Dad with a shotgun or something. And I got the message. That's what you have to do. Now, that didn't happen to me very often. I never was on top of somebody, holding them down. They're fearing for their lives or any of that stuff. But when you're a young guy, Dan, the phones are ringing. You don't have to worry about them. I think we have somebody to answer. Oh, no, that's you.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
Uncle David.
When you are, let me explain something to women, and I'm sure they can explain a lot to me. When you're a 17, 18-year-old boy, you have almost a constant erection. It's just, you can't even, sometimes it's hard to get rid of it. All you think about is seeing women naked, getting some feels. I'm just telling you the truth. If it's a heterosexual boy, it's almost like a curse. If you could take a medication to calm Mr. Happy down a little bit, you would, because it would be a lot less miserable than walking around with a constant boner. So it's a raging hormone thing. Right. Now, to young women, let's say teenage girls in the 20s, please stop the heavy, heavy flirting and suggestive talk. And flaunting cleavage, that in itself is not wrong, but boy, oh boy, does it make it tough for weak guys who certainly should control themselves, but find it sometimes tough to, when you're almost saying, come on, let's see how far I'll let you go before I stop you. Does that make sense? I you can dress any way you want. I guess not against the law, but when you're drunk, as she admitted, and you're at a party and other people are drunk and kissing and making out and stuff, most young boys don't have that switch where you go, all right, stopping right here. That's it.
All right. Well, if they don't have that switch, then we need to drive it into their heads as of right now.
Absolutely.
That no, regardless of what the night or the situation is leading up to that moment.
Leave. Shut it down.
If a woman says no.
Go away.
Done.
Go away.
Exactly.
Yes. Go away.
Over with. The situation, like, she's not interested anymore. May have been at the beginning. Not interested anymore. Go home.
And that is as hard to implement and have them comply to and listen to as saying, don't smoke.
Right.
Okay, I know you're going to that party. Don't drink. Don't have a drink. Well, the smart thing to do would be not have a drink. You're not 18 or 21 or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll take a couple of calls, 314-821-0590. That's 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Here's the other thing that's going to happen. What?
A texter just, I think, is a little bit amazed that you just told somebody to kick someone in the nuts. So
why? Why are they amazed by that?
I don't know. They just sent me over a question. Did Frank just tell somebody to kick a guy in the nuts?
Yes, I told women, if a guy comes on so strong and keeps coming, that'll do the trick. As someone who has been either accidentally or on purpose hitting the nuts, that stops everything, because that's a pain that's hard to describe.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, not in a self-defense thing by a woman, but accidentally.
Yeah.
When your kids are little, sometimes when you're playing, they'll get one in there and you go, ooh, and they're, what's wrong, Daddy? You can't explain it. I go, you kicked Daddy in the stomach.
Oh, it happened to me one time. I was like Bambi in scene one. You know, it's like,
you know,
I got hit by a hockey puck, reffing a hockey game with no cup in. And I just literally, my legs just collapsed.
The first time.
I just collapsed.
No, it buckled you.
First time ever happened to me, I was riding a bike, hit my brakes too hard, slid forward right into the handlebar.
Mm.
Like, ooh, that's a pain I remember.
Ladies, I'm telling you, if you get that shot, you see an open goal, go for it. Then you're free to get out of the way and leave because he's incapacitated for a while. The other thing I just want to say real quickly before we take a call. What you're going to see now, we actually can't see it, but right now, today, do you know how many famous, wealthy, powerful people are sweating bullets right now?
Oh, yeah.
All the ones that signed civil settlements with women who accused them of doing something bad.
Who thought at the time, whew, she's out of the way.
We'll solve that problem.
There are probably thousands of men who are hoping this doesn't come around their way because they are as guilty as Cosby of doing something similar, either giving the woman too much to drink or whatever. And this Cosby thing is going to, I believe, is actually going to change society. It's going to change the way men think and hopefully not to the extreme, the way they act. We can't go through life being afraid to do or say anything.
Of course.
But there are going to be a lot of guys who will think twice before they do something that's not consensual.
His mistake was giving a deposition. If there's a lesson learned out there by guys in the future, it is if you even think you did something mildly wrong, don't sit there and put it in writing in a deposition. Just write the check and get out of Dodge. You know, don't sit there and leave a lasting record of what you did, or you're going to look what happened to him.
Yeah,
and if you did something wrong.
Yeah,
if you didn't give the deposition and deny.
And we're not defending him. But the difference between him and this Kavanaugh thing is we know what he did.
Yeah.
And he deserves to be punished. And if Kavanaugh did it, then he probably does too. Let me talk to John. He's been holding for a long time. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, Frank. It's John down here in Texas. How are you?
John, I'm doing great. How's everything in Texas?
Still a little warm, but I think she'll be cooling off here.
Fall's
I still haven't gotten together with Mike yet.
Well, but, try to keep it that way, if you can. So what's up, John?
And just touchy subjects you've been talking about. Well, Cosby deal, whatever. I mean, he deserves it. But the Kavanaugh deal, it's just I've heard so many different opinions and thoughts, and I think the most disturbing thing is how so many people are just so quick to not even give the lady a chance.
Well, that's what bothers me. And that woman, I think from Hawaii, the governor of Hawaii, senator or something, who got up yesterday or the day before and said something to the effect of all women should be believed. In other words, if they say it, it's true. Let's go back to that lacrosse team and how those guys' lives were ruined because of a gal who lied and then later admitted, okay, I made it up. Oh, my goodness, they went through hell.
Obviously don't agree with that either, but we haven't heard from this lady. We do know that, and I think, well, it was 2012, she was talking to her therapist about this situation.
Yeah.
Now, this is way before Kavanaugh was even thought of as a Supreme Court justice, and supposedly she actually has always had to have two doors in her bedroom, so she had an escape route. That's pretty significant.
Yeah,
when
she talked to the therapist, did she name his name?
I believe she did, I believe she did.
Well, I think so too. Well, I think I
got news
that.
For you. If she did, before he was a public name, that's pretty serious. So that would get my attention. That if she was naming his name way back then, and I more than most people, and one day I'll get into why I can say this. I've never been quite ready to tell the story, but more than most, I absolutely understand not saying anything for a long, long time. I do. because you're afraid.
Right.
I get that. I've been there. I'm still there. And one day I'll tell that story. But, yeah, I'm on the fence about the Kavanaugh thing. There's just maybe a little too much that makes it look like, she's not doing this now. She mentioned all this before, and that's kind of a red flag. I guess we'll see. I'm sorry it takes so long to just get to the truth. You know, it's like everything takes forever. Let's just get.
Well, they're just kicking the crap out of her, and I don't even think that she's allowed to admit that information, based on what, you know, the Republic or whatever, you know, not getting political, but how this thing's set up, I should say.
Here's the other thing, John. Do you really remember every night that you went out and went anywhere when you were 17? I don't. And you may very well have done something. You just flat out don't even remember doing it. Because
I can guarantee it.
Yeah.
But not maybe to that extreme. But I do remember in high school, we were probably, and I'm 51.
Yeah.
So it was quite a while ago. So this was probably junior year, maybe senior year. But one of our good friends, we were at a party and we were looking for. And me and another guy walked into this bedroom. Well, the guy that we went to school with, his older brother, was in there trying to rape our friend.
Mm.
And she was passed out drunk, and he was all over her. And we almost killed him. But the trauma that she had to go through, and they called a family, one of our friends' dads who was a doctor. They took her to his house. He examined her to see if she had indeed been raped and blah, blah, blah. But I see all my friends, not all of them, but a lot of my friends on this Kavanaugh deal. She's a liar, you know, why wait this long, blah, blah, blah. Well, I just wonder if it was our friend that was in the spotlight now, you know, what their thoughts would be.
Yeah. Well, I'm not one of those saying she's a liar. I'm not saying anything because I don't know enough, and neither do most of us at this point.
My only argument is when they say, like, you know, why did she wait so long? Is because, well, look at what her life has become now. I mean, would you want to go through all of that? I mean, yeah, she could have gone through it before, and maybe she was just scared of what was going to happen.
But had she spoken out earlier, she could have avoided all this attention because nobody knew who Kavanaugh was.
Maybe.
She could have held him responsible earlier.
Well, when she was talking to her therapist, I guess, I don't know if she recommended that she go to the authorities on it or whatever, but she didn't back then. But
maybe she was too afraid.
The therapist probably should have recommended that she go.
Yeah,
maybe there was a statute of limitations up there.
I don't know.
It's a tough one. This is a tough one, but I don't think it's looking good for Mr. Kavanaugh at this point. I don't. Cosby, we all know the truth.
Yes, John.
That Stanford story you were talking about, that judge actually got recalled. He's not a judge anymore.
Oh, wow, really?
That's how bad that stunk.
Oh,
wow.
John?
One last thing on Kavanaugh. Read a little bit about their yearbooks, and about 11 or 12 of them that had the statement on, or some whatever, on this one girl that went to, kind of like there in St. Louis, you got, Chaminade
right.
For boys and then whatever for girls.
Yeah.
That's how the situation was up there. But there was this Catholic girl at a different school that about a dozen guys claimed that they accomplished or climbed or whatever, and she didn't know it, and she just learned this the other day, that her name is in all of these yearbooks of these guys that went to that Georgetown prep school. Well, they were a bunch of, you know,
horn dogs. Horn dog.
Yeah. Take care, fellas.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Wow. Do you ever go back and look at what's written in your yearbook? Mm. Did you have a yearbook?
We only ever did one yearbook, and that's when we left. And I remember on one girl's page, because, you know, we got a little cutouts and we stuck our picture there, and I said, have a nice life. I'll probably never see you again. And I've never
well,
seen her
again. Well, that's true. You yeah. But that's true.
And I haven't seen her since.
You don't see wow. ever again most people you went to high school with.
I don't even remember.
Do they still do your books? Do you still get them?
Yeah, they do.
Because years ago they were talking about it would all be electronic. That's not a yearbook. No, download a yearbook. It should be a real book.
I still do yearbooks.
I have three nephews and nieces, two that are seniors in high school this year. One is now a sophomore in college. And they don't, you know, when I had my senior picture taken, I went to some studio. I sat there 5 minutes, snap, gone. Bye. Yeah.
Oh, they go and that make a big deal out
oh,
of it.
Oh, God. My niece took like six outfits to a park, and it was like, you know, eight.
Yeah.
My stepfather took like 800 photos of her. It took like, you know, 6 hours. It was, you know, unbelievable.
The only thing I remember
and
about.
And the boys do it, too.
The only thing I remember about my senior yearbook picture mm-hmm. was somebody on the yearbook staff. You know, there are always those smart students who are on the yearbook staff. I saw the layout before it went to print, and they had me down as 5'11". I went nuts. I said, I'm 6 feet tall. I went into the yearbook staff. I said, you gotta change this. Because that was a big deal to me to be 6 feet
right.
tall. I said, I am not 5'11". They remeasured me. They I remember.
Remeasured?
I never saw a yearbook where they listed your height.
No, I never did either. Too.
Well, it was not the standard, like, here's the class of 60. It was another photo uh-huh. that had something to do with, I don't know, some shot in the hallway. Maybe I was reaching for, made reference to being 5'11". And boy, that insulted me. I said, you've got to change this. So they said, well, you know, but they did measure us. They took a photo and everybody got measured.
That's kind of odd.
It is odd.
That's a little
but they,
bit odd.
But they actually came in with a tape thing and they remade, okay, you're 6 feet tall. A couple of quick calls here. We have some time. Who's been on here the longest? Brenda? Brenda, welcome to 590 The Fan. How you doing?
I'm good.
What's
so
up?
I just wanted a little different perspective is when I was a freshman in high school, we kind of lived out in the country and I got off the bus with these two boys and they ended up kind of tackling me, and one got on top of me. I was face up, and the other one was behind my head, kind of holding my arms up, while the one on top of me undid my blouse and lifted up my bra, and then they went through my purse and took out two tampons and stuck them in my mouth so I wouldn't scream.
Whoa.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And a neighbor came out, a man, saw what was happening, and just went back in his house.
Yeah, well, he should go to prison.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he should go to jail.
They all should.
Yeah, so one of the boys, his name was Sean, I was good friends with his sister, Serena. Well, Serena came home, and they got up and, you know, went on their merry way, and then I ran home, and when I walked in the door, my mom could tell by one look on my face that something had happened, so the police were called. They went to the boys' house. Those boys either one of them didn't go home till like 10 o'clock at night because they knew the cops were there. But then what it all boiled down to was, I don't even remember why charges weren't pressed or why they didn't do it. Maybe it's because of their age. But then I suffered at school because they were popular. Two girls tried to beat me up because it was one of them's brother that I got him in trouble. And then I suffered at school because of what those boys did, and I came forward and said something.
Yeah, see, that's what some of these women are so afraid of. And we have to change that. We have to change the woman who is a victim being a victim again. By the way they're treated by people.
And I'm 53 now, and that was when I was a freshman in high school, and can I remember it like it was yesterday? I still get kind of choked up.
Well, there are some things from my childhood that I remember, and one in particular that, again, I've never talked about. I will someday, but I did mention one of them, and it was the most degrading, humiliating thing, maybe not ever that you could imagine, but it was certainly degrading. And it was four boys, and they took me into the concession stand on the football field, high school, and tied me up, tied my hands to a post or something, and they all unzipped and urinated on me. They just doused me.
I remember you talking about that.
They just peed all over me. I mean, it splatters in my face, and you want to just cry, just break down crying, but you just stand there and take it because you don't want these other boys to see you crying like a little baby. And I remember I ran home and got undressed and took a bath. We didn't have a shower. And sort of rinsed my clothes out, and then I must have told my mother something like I ran through somebody was playing with a water hose or something, and that's why my clothes are so wet. I just didn't have, for some reason, I couldn't say four boys peed all over me because it's hard to explain. It's almost like I thought, well, maybe I deserved it, or maybe somebody will think I deserved it, or maybe the first question would be, well, what did you do to cause him to do that? You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. And you're ashamed, but you're ashamed of what? I didn't do anything. I'm not the one who did it.
Affiliated against you, had you told?
One of them was basketball. I still remember his name. He's a basketball player, tall guy. And then none of them were shrimps. Yes, had I gone to the principal and said, here are the names, and these are the boys, they would have beaten the hell out of me. I mean, I'd be walking around waiting for what's next. And that's the punishments are not severe enough or serious enough. Had I known that if I tell them, they're all going to go away to reform school, which was the words I always heard for, you know, juvenile prison. If I thought that would be the result, yeah, you bet I'd have gone. But no, I never told the principal. I never told anybody. Because I thought I'd be the one to get punished, and I would have. They'd have called him in and said, now, boys, if that's true, you shouldn't have done that. What would have really happened is they'd go, he's crazy. We didn't do that. We don't know what he's talking about. Okay, it's over. No proof.
Yeah, and in my case, the neighbor saw it, and my friend Serena saw it. And it was Serena's friend. Serena had a better friend than me who was a basketball player. She was a girl. She was older. She beat me up in the alley one day because of this.
Yeah, see, this is what's so wrong. Imagine being a kid now with social media. How tough that's got to be.
Oh, yeah, I just can't even imagine.
Well, I can, and I don't like what I have in my head when I do imagine it.
My son has autism, and he was bullied all through high school. And there was many times that I worried that he was going to commit suicide.
Wow.
I mean, he was beat up in gym class by them pelting balls at him. They broke his finger. Then he was assaulted once. They kicked and punched him in the head and chest. That kid was actually arrested.
And think about the mindset of somebody who sees somebody else who's disabled, and they think, hey, let's pick on and beat up that kid. There's something just sick about that.
Yeah, well, and luckily some girls saw him being assaulted on the track field because the teacher wasn't around, and they were so they had to go to counseling over what they saw because he was just kicking and punching my son in the head and the chest. He broke his hand on my son's head and had to have surgery on his hand.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, see, so this is where I'd have to be restrained from just going to school. And just,
oh, my God, I have no idea.
Killing
and
those
then
kids.
When I walked out of the school, I had to go to the school and pick him up and, you know, fill out all these papers. And when we were leaving, the buses had just started loading up with kids to leave for the day.
Yeah.
And some kids, I'm standing right there, and some kids rolled their windows down and said, hey, Connor, heard you got your A kicked today. Right in front of me.
Yeah. That's tough to take when you're a parent.
I'm going to go on the bus and polarize them. Yeah.
Beat the crap out of them.
Yeah. Hey, Brenda, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, Barbara. Let's get Brian in here, and we have to take a break. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm in the end.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. So quick thing. That lady's therapist said there were four guys. Her letter to the Senate said there were two guys and a gal. Three of the witnesses are recanting, saying that they weren't even at the party.
Yeah.
But I went to college, and by the way, the way they held on to that letter no last minute is kind of bad too.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I went to college with a guy that he got accused of rape, and the cops eventually, they knew something was wrong, and the lady confessed that she made the whole thing up. But by the time that came out, the campus paper had run, and this was at University of Missouri, this guy's life was ruined. But, you know, the bottom line is the gal, she made up the whole story because he'd broken up with her. So that's,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
You know, the guy left school.
And any time you say, well, sometimes women make things up, people take it as if you're saying, okay, well, you've already decided she's a liar and you're on Kavanaugh's side. No, no, no. We're just stating the fact that we need some evidence and some proof because sometimes people do make things up. They just do. Thank you for the call, Brian. We appreciate it. Let me tell you real quickly, and this is from personal experience, something that happened to someone that I knew very, very well. Okay? And this is a case of flat out lying, making up. And this is, to me, about as despicable a thing as you can do. This guy that I knew well, wife wanted a divorce and wanted to make sure that she got the kids. So you know how she did it? And the kids, by the way, were like 3 and 5. So she goes to the police and says he raped their 3-year-old daughter. Not true, by the way. But when a woman goes and says, my husband raped my daughter, and we find out later, because when the kids got older, I talked to them, and they remember being coached, being told what to say to the police. Here's how he held my sister. All coaching. I had lunch with him after all this stuff went down. And when you sit across from a grown man who cries like a child, he cried so hard, I thought he was going to pass out. And he said, you know me. And I said, I do. And he said, do you for one second think I would rape my 3-year-old daughter? I said, no, not for a second. He said, and I didn't. He said, I took 2 lie detector tests, and I passed them both with flying colors. He said, I still came so close to going to prison that it was frightening. He said, so close. And I forgot what it was that when it all kind of shook out in the end that convinced the authorities that, no, something doesn't add up, he didn't do it. But how about that? How about somebody making up something that despicable just to get what you want? Well, I want the kids, so I'm going to tell everybody you raped our daughter. Wow. And guess what happened to her? Nothing. Nothing. See, that's part of the problem. When you make up something that serious and that horrible and the world finds out it wasn't true, you should go to prison for making it up. All right, it's a little heavy, sorry, but hey, Cosby, it's his fault. It's Bill Cosby's fault. Our favorite car dealership on the show is Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. And I realize they only sell Chevrolets, and I also realize there are a lot of other car dealers and probably some pretty decent car dealers out there, but when advertisers, businesses, services help keep the show on the air, then those are the people that we want you to deal with. And not just anybody can get on here, at least, and have me speak for them. I would have been able to retire 10, 15 years ago if I'd done commercials for everybody who came along. We desperately need some new advertisers on this show right now. We really do. We're in a situation where we've never been in. And we need some new business, some new advertisers. But the people you do hear me speak for, the people who have been with us a long, long, long time, I don't have the least bit of reluctance to send all of you to them because I know who they are. I know how they operate. I know how they run their businesses. And I know that your response once you do business there is going to be, wow, thank you for telling me about this place. And Johnny Landoff Chevrolet is one of those places. Johnny just sent me a text this morning. Somebody, and I should have saved the name, and I'm sorry I didn't. I accidentally erased the text. A guy walked in there who was a longtime Chevrolet customer at another dealership and broke that habit to buy a brand new I think it was a Silverado pickup truck from Johnny Londo because of this show. Thank you to that guy. I'll get his name. I'll thank him. But sometimes you don't know if people want their names on the radio. They want their neighbors to know they got a new truck. So I'm a little hesitant to do that. But when they don't mind, I'm happy to do it. And the point is this. Loyalty. Loyalty. It's a two-way street. Londoff's loyal to the show. The show's listeners loyal to Johnny Londoff. So if you're in the market for a car, new, pre-owned, I'm telling you right now, you're going to be treated the way you expect to be treated and probably have never been treated before at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Of course, the deal would be good. Of course, their prices are competitive. Nobody's going to beat their price. I hate that when those deals. We'll beat anybody's price or give you $50. Well, so what? No, you're not. You might beat it by a nickel. What is that? So what? Nothing. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Get treated the way you should be treated. Get the deal you should get. Get the service you're entitled to. Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, 24/7 at Londoff.com.
Time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic sponsored by CarStar. There's an accident southbound 270 near Ladue. Multiple lanes are blocked. You're starting to slow westbound 64 near Hampton. Again, at Spady. Westbound 70 on the brakes past 94. Delays from an earlier crash. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers and northbound 170 at Frost. An accident blocking the right lane. At CarStar, they repair hundreds of makes and models, but the name on the car isn't nearly as important as the name of the person who owns it. Because at CarStar, they don't just repair cars, they repair your car. I'm Tori Lyons reporting 4-5 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
Who's ready to party? Whether it's a special occasion or you're already looking for the perfect place for a company holiday party, it's time to call Surf and Sirloin. Party packages for groups of 15 to 150. Each package has unlimited soft drinks, super salad, any one of their USDA prime steak entrees or seafood options, and dessert with New York-style cheesecake with strawberries or creme brulee. Call Surf and Sirloin, 822-3637, 822-3637, or online, surfandsirloin.com.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where the patio is lined with trees, and in the breeze, there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven, and it's no less inviting inside in a beautiful dining room with a service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs, then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital.
I've got a brand new bag. I can hit James.
Interviewed James Brown one time. Wow, was that a weird interview. I think he was all coked up when I interviewed him. I have one bit of business to do, and we come back, we will we'll meet Dan Buffo. We're not going to meet him. We've met him before. We'll talk some movies and some TV. I got another binge TV addiction, Succession.
Any good?
Yeah, HBO, you bet it's good. About a real rich family. We'll talk about it a little later when Dan gets in here. So I had a really nice meeting last week with Jason Becker, Mark and Jason. And what's frustrating is I can't tell you about it. I can't tell you what we talked about. I can't tell you any good suggestions they made, any good results that I've had or returns on investment or anything. I'm not allowed to get specific at all or even generalize about what we talked about. And I guess I understand that. I think I do. But here's what I can tell you. If you have $25,000 or more that you have somewhere invested under the mattress, hole in the ground, whatever, and you'd like somebody else's opinion about what you're doing with it, set up a complimentary meeting. You call them, you set up the meeting, and that's it. And I would probably going to last an hour, it's my guess. Not going to cost you anything. It's not going to make you obligated. There's no pressure. You might learn something. they might learn something. Maybe you're doing some very smart things with your money, and if you are, they'll tell you that. You'll be very comfortable with these guys. I have been from day one. That's about all I can say. The rest is up to you. If you want that number and everything else that you, I think, need to know initially about them, go to markandjason.com. Don't go anywhere because Dan Buffa comes in for the next hour, and there's always a lot. Boy, there's some tremendous programming on now between Amazon and Netflix and HBO and Showtime and AMC and whatever. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what's in the movie theaters that would work for you or maybe not, and that's all coming up right after the news. It's 4 o'clock at 590, The Fan.
This is Jim Hayes. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Good afternoon, everyone, from the 590 The Fan, KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn. Partly cloudy skies, 84 degrees outside at 4 o'clock.